is your almost story? What dreams or opportunities have you aborted, hesitated, or held back, waiting for the right time? Today, Pastor Ron will teach us how to stop living in the land of almost and explain how God desires to complete the good work He has begun in your life with a stimulated message titled, Almost.
My family, renewed my marriage. I almost surrendered to God through Jesus Christ. No one pays much attention to almost because all almost are not quite. Not quite are walls and fences that keep us from expansion. They keep us from new experiences, and they keep us from success stories to tell. God help us. It's not too late. But we could have a testimony service today of this room full of almost. One of the most heavy scriptures in the Bible, or passages in the Bible, is the 13th chapter of Numbers. They report the story of an almost. Let's see what we can get out of the story for our own benefit. And let me tell you what I'm going to tell you to do now. Everybody that's got to go to the bathroom, everybody's got to feed the baby, everybody's got to change the baby. I need you to leave now and do it. Now. If not, I want the baby to stay wet. I want you to stay thirsty. I want you to cross your legs. Because there will be no more walking while I'm preaching today. You understand? Come on in, precious. The only walking will be people. Where you go, oh, son, where you going? Hold up. Where you going? Sit down. Last Sunday was the last Sunday we will have that. While young people did the, it was so much walking, it ain't gonna happen in here. But I don't like it. I got the right to work. We'll right to walk. We'll walk somewhere else, but don't come back here and walk through the prayer ever. No more walking through the word. Now there were some. I understand there were some situations. Go ahead. I ain't gonna bother. But I'm going to tell you that we have some things that we do in between, and there are some things that listen, let me tell you what I learned from y'all. Let me tell you what y'all, here I am. At the end of my sermon, I said, let us stand. And y'all came to me and said, Pastor, we got a problem. You have us sitting, and then you say stand. When you say stand, our bladder say go. So you can't have us stand up there trembling. And I heard that. I heard that when you told me that. And so I tried to work on that. But once I got to the age I am, I really understand that. Sometimes I gotta go. You understand? Let me tell you what. So now, plan your going. Plan it before and after the word, after the prayer, and before and after the word. But we won't be walking anymore while the word is going on. Pastor, you preach a long time, then cross your legs a long time or go to the bathroom a long time before I start. Is everybody here, Pastor? Amen. Amen. And y'all train the children to do that. Y'all get up. I was in service one day. This whole row got up and walked. And then they came back. And then they walked again. I was thinking, oh, it must have been a real emergency. So now all emergencies, I'm canceling them. We're ready back to the Word of God. Let me tell you the story so I won't have to read all the scripture. Corey, I'm going to ask you to go to 13 in a little while, though. This is a story. I think I may be preaching from this story a lot this month. But the story is of a people who have cried out to God because they were bound and they were mistreated. You see, there's something unique about the slavery that you saw in Egypt among the Jews. They could have escaped. You see, they could run away. It wasn't they were on somebody's plantation. There was nobody guarding them from leaving. The Egyptians knew that they weren't going anywhere, so they just put somebody else to work. It was enough, you understand? So there was really nowhere to go. But when they cried out to God, God heard them. Lord, please make my long story short. God heard them, and he sent a deliverer. I was in bondage. I could have run, but I had nowhere to run. I didn't like the situation I was in, but I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who could deliver me. So God sent a deliverer. He raised up Moses. Help me, Lord. These are the people, the prelude to that 13th chapter, these are the people who saw great things that we've not ever seen. They were observers, but they weren't participants. They saw water turn to blood, but they were participants. They saw frogs, lice, flies, locusts take over land. They weren't participants, they just observed. They watched as boils broke out on the Egyptians. They had seen it. And they saw a plague or a rain that took over not only the bodies of the Egyptians, but also their livestock. They saw the darkness of the night come in the middle of the day. The Bible says, until they could see nothing, it was so dark. It was a darkness, the Bible says, that could be felt. Glory to God. But the light was shining in Goshen so that they could see into the darkness of Egypt. They had seen the firstborn of every uncovered, unblood-protected house in Egypt. These were the same people who had seen the Red Sea move for a road, a temporary road. And because the water had nowhere to go, it stood. They had seen that. These were the people who, when they got thirsty, God sent a fountain out of rock. And anticipating that they would be hungry, he sent a manna every morning. These were the people which, just imagine that God serves you breakfast in the morning, just drops the food down. Now, I understand Israel because we're a lot like them. I'm like them. Sister Georgia, I don't want biscuits and bacon and eggs every morning. How many of you think biscuits pretty good? Yeah. And good scrambled eggs with a little cheese in them. How you, what you think? And bacon, some of it crisp and some of it kind of, you know, limp, you know. And maybe throwing a little figs on the, you know, where you sop it up. You know what I'm talking about? You understand what I'm saying? But if you had it every day, so I understand them. But we come to chapter 13 with these people who have experienced these things. Help me, Father. They have been called out of the wilderness of the Sinai and into the wilderness of a place called Paran. And when they got to Paran, Numbers 13, if you will read 1 and 2, Corey.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them.
Read 17 through 20.
And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain.
Now, Pastor Ron, what do we do when the opposition seems insurmountable and we find ourselves at the place of wanting to throw in the towel, give it all up, or going back?
Determined not to give attention to nor agree with the opposition. The Bible instructs, having done all to stand, stand therefore. So put on the whole armor of God and see it through. No battles are won without a prayer. The scripture adds that God causes us always to triumph. Insurmountable and seems insurmountable are not necessarily one and the same.
Well, you've heard it from Pastor Ron. Now let's continue the message, almost.
And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes.
Read 20 one more time.
And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean. whether there be wood therein or not.
Wood in it.
And be ye of good courage.
And be of good courage and do what?
And bring of the fruit of the
land.
That's enough.
And bring of the fruit of the land. God instructs to send out 12 spies into Canaan to spy out the land. To spy out the land, to not just an anybody, but there were leaders, and they were leaders. They were not only leaders, but they were representatives. They were ambassadors. They were the people of respect, the highest respect in their tribe. So each one of them, there were 12 of them, he said to them, I want you to go into Canaan. Tell them, go into Canaan. And I want you to observe. I'm not sending you to fight. I'm not sending you to evaluate. I'm just sending you to look and to report. That's all I want you to do. I want you to see what is in the land. I want you to see the people. God was not talking about see if they are too strong for you. Or if they're weak enough for you to attack. He already knew what was in the land. He wanted them to see. He wanted Israel to see what was in the land. He said, see the people. Are they weak people or strong people? Are there few people or many people? See what kind of place they build their houses, or when it says inhabit, or where they dwell, it didn't mean in the full city. It meant where do they decide? You know, you've got a large geographic area, but which part of that area did they build their houses in? So he says, is their habitation good or bad? Are they in tents? He said, I want you to check and see if they got trailers or brick homes. I want to see if they've got shanties or if they've got stone buildings. I want you to see how their structure is versus what you do that you can afford. Somebody's with me. Oh, get off of it. Come on with me. Check the produce. Does the land produce fat or lean? Is the production small or great? Does it have, it says wood, but does it have trees? Meaning it tells what kind of nutrients are there and if the supply you need for what you do is there. And bring back proof. Now, God was not sending them to evaluate whether or not they could have the land. What his intent was for them to see that it's a lot of folks here, which means the land can sustain a lot of folks. We can handle it. He wanted them to see that there was much produce, which means we're not going to be hungry when we get here. He wanted them to see, look at the homes they built, so there is wealth in order to build what they're living in. I want you to see what is in the land. Lord, you got to help. We cannot aspire to anything before we see it. You see, there's got to be a vision before there is sight. Oh, y'all better wake up and throw something. So God is saying, I did not bring you out of Egypt to bring you into another Egypt. And because your only experience has been Egypt, I want to show you how the other side lives. I'm not showing you what you got to take. I'm showing what I'm giving you. I want you to... There are so many things that the Father has provided for us that we almost got. There are so many doors that the Father has opened for you as a son and a daughter, and you almost went through. There are so many arrangements and assignments, are you still listening to me, that God made for you and for your spouse and for your family, and you almost stayed together. Turn to somebody and say, no, almost. Say, cause. I know I should have said because. I know I should have said, but I won't. Say, cause. Almost. Means. Not quite. There are things I know that I should have had. I thank God for his grace and for his favor. And God has worked around some things that I shouldn't have had that I got. But I could have had it before I got it. Because I got almost, which means not quite. So they went into the land. I'm almost. I'm almost finished, but not quite. God wanted them to know what you can have, what you can become. What you can live in, what you can eat, and what you can drink. 13 and 23, Corey.
And they came
because up. I heard him say this morning, they that fear the Lord shall not lack any good thing. We have come, Sister Tony, to a time where it is your word true or not? No more faking. I just trust him. I believe he's going. Do you believe that the word of God is true? And everything he said, he's able to do and willing to do. Why would he be able to and then tell me and then back away from it? God will do what he said he will do. In the last 2 years, I have never heard, I don't know that I ever heard it before in my life until these last 2 years, but I hear it often when I'm talking to him, he will say, am I enough? I got a question for you. Is there anything you need that is not in Christ? If you need something that is not in Christ, you don't need it. And you should not want it. if it's not inside Christ. And God is not wicked that he would torture and show you dangle things and then put them behind his back and say, you know what the Lord told me one day? He said, I never told you to beg me. I don't get moved because you beg me. I don't need you to beg. It means that you when you do that, you it sounds like you're saying that I don't want you to have and I'm not willing to do for you. And so you got to go through that. I don't need you to beg me. I need you to have faith. I need you to speak what I spoke. And believe what I said. Anybody in here but me? So, you didn't read 23. I told you to read 23.
And they came unto the brook of Eshcol.
Yes.
And cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes.
Excuse me? They went into what?
Eshcol.
What, read the.
And they came unto the brook of Eshcol.
Yeah. They came into a. They came to a vineyard.
If you have enjoyed what you've heard from Mount Rose Church of God in Christ, you can order this message via CD number 20130901 or write in to Mount Rose at mountrosecogic.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to serving you again next week from the City of Refuge.